I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. I'm very pleased to be joined now by Michael Geller, the commentator and political analyst, as a former candidate for City Council. He ran for the NPA in the last election unsuccessfully. He blogs regularly at gellersworldtravel.blogspot.com. He tweets regularly at Michael Geller. His has been an interesting voice in this campaign, a thoughtful one at that. He is an architect, planner, and developer. He is president of Michael Geller & Associates and is on the faculty of the Center for Sustainable Community Development at Simon Fraser University. We'll talk to Mr. Geller about this election campaign, who he's voting for, and the issues and more. Another website is at michaelgeller.ca. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Michael Geller. Good morning, Mr. Geller.
It's a pleasure to join you.
Thanks for joining us. So many people online and elsewhere wanted you to run this time around. Why didn't you?
I was afraid I might win. I think I ran about 3 years ago. I had just come back from a world trip. I wasn't really working on any specific projects. I felt there was a need for change in Vancouver, and I was seduced into running. And it was an amazing experience, but I must confess, Joseph, having watched what life is like for a municipal politician, and especially in this era where social media is playing an important role, an increasingly important role, and it's sometimes gets quite nasty, quite partisan, I decided that this time around not to run.
It must be gratifying, though, that people are telling you that they would vote for you, or that you would do a good job if you were elected.
Well, I think they would only say that because they knew I wasn't running. But yeah. No, it is gratifying, and I'd like to think it's in part not because of who I am, but what I was trying to represent, which is a more collaborative, nonpartisan approach to municipal politics in Vancouver.
And so you lost the last election, so you've had a chance to watch the government that did win, the party that did win in office. You've seen their record thus far. What do you make of it, of vision and this mayor, Mr. Robertson?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, the mayor, I think, is a very charming and an attractive and very, very pleasant individual, and on a very social level, the few times we've met, I've always enjoyed having a few words with him. In terms of the government, in many respects, the concerns that they've raised in terms of affordable housing, creating a greener economy, I think these are things that I and many other people agree with. But I must say, I haven't always been pleased with the direction and the decisions that were made. One of the things that really did bother me was the Olympic Village social housing. There's no doubt that Vision inherited a mess with the Olympic Village, but I don't feel that they improved the situation as much as they could have. And I was troubled that we've spent a lot of money, and I think lost a lot of money, on that Olympic Village, both the social housing and the market housing. The other thing that has happened, which has troubled me, is that the mood within City Hall is not very good. There's a great deal of dissension. A lot of people are very unhappy. A number of people who I'd worked with for many years have left. And I think in part it was a combination of the management style of the city manager, as well as sort of uncertain direction from the politicians. In the old days, I must confess, staff often gave advice to politicians. I'm told that in the last 3 years it's been more a case of the politicians often giving advice to staff, and with mixed results.
You've named two issues where Vision has not done very well, has failed almost. Yet the people, they don't. There seems to be a disconnect because the people tend to like Robertson and they like this part, like Vision Vancouver.
We're going to find out tomorrow, election day, how much they like him. I expect that the mayor will win, but I've just come from an interview with Executive Director of Vision, Ian Bailey, where I was willing to bet him my house that they were not going to get as many council seats as they did last time. And I think that is the result of the fact that people don't like Vision quite as much this time as they disliked the NPA 3 years ago.
And he took the bet, did he?
We never quite got to finalizing it. He didn't offer me his house in return. But the point is, I think there's a lot of people. I think the polls have demonstrated that a lot of people in Vancouver, particularly those under 35, those of lower income, those who are renting, are very, very supportive of what Vision is trying to do, and I fully understand that. My own children, I think, are quite supportive of what Vision is trying to do. But I think a lot of older voters, perhaps over 35, over 45, people who own property, perhaps people who have a longer perspective, see things differently, I don't think they are quite as satisfied, and that will be shown tomorrow.
And so what has the NPA done then that they couldn't have won this election in your mind?
Well, I think Suzanne Anton is a popular candidate, but she was, I don't think she was as popular as perhaps NPA might have liked in terms of bringing in a fresh face, somebody who didn't come with any baggage, who might have led the party. And I think it's a reflection on how people perceive politics that the NPA, nobody else wanted to step forward and put their name forward as a candidate for mayor for the NPA. In terms of running the campaign, I actually think they've run a much better campaign this time than they did 3 years ago. I personally am uncomfortable with a lot of the the negative attack ads, but I'm told that they're effective, and that's what you've got to do. And indeed, I know now the Vision is becoming quite negative in terms of some of its more recent advertising and radio spots. But overall, I would say that both parties have run very, very good campaigns. I think Adrian Carr of the Green Party, who's somebody I'm supporting, has managed to raise her profile, I think has a pretty good chance. And Sandy Garasino, who probably will not win, but I think she has certainly demonstrated that it is possible for an independent candidate to get their voice out there if they can resonate with voters on particular issues.
And we'll talk about your slate in just a sec. The NPA and sort of the divisions within it, have they healed from the divisions from 3 years ago between the Ladner camp, say, and the Sullivan camps that you obviously saw when you were running?
Oh, I think that's very much the case. I mean, the interesting thing about the NPA is some people view it as a party and other people view it as an association. And I was just discussing this with Ian Bailey. You know, when the Vancouver Sun asks candidates to express their points of view on various matters, each one can set out exactly what they think in response to the Sun's questions. Whereas Vision very deliberately says, no, we have a party line and each candidate shall respond accordingly. So there is a very genuine difference in the approach and attitude. Personally, I'm much more comfortable with the NPA attitude, which says, look, we are all individuals. We come with different experiences. We come with different points of view. And hopefully, if we're elected, we're allowed to spread those points of view. Right now, I would say the NPA is a pretty united party, and its campaign team has done a pretty effective job.
What have you thought of what's going on at the art gallery there, Occupy Vancouver?
I've been disgusted by it. I was initially sympathetic to the issues, especially as they related to the United States, and I was actually quite pleased to see a discussion begin on the fact that there is great disparity and increasing disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I like the idea of starting to have a conversation about that. But I was really troubled by people camping out overnight, setting up tents, and then watching that camp grow. And from day one, anyone who listens to me on CKNW knows, I was opposed to people being allowed to sleep there because I knew it was illegal, it was city property, and it was illegal. And so I have been troubled by it, and if I had any doubts as to how I felt, they dissipated when the homelessness debate took place in the church a week ago Monday,
yeah.
And the Occupy Vancouver people essentially destroyed what could have been a very good conversation about how the different candidates and parties might approach key issues relating to homelessness and housing affordability. I was very, very upset about that evening, and must admit, I thought it was wrong to keep pandering to people who try to get their point of view across by being rude and obnoxious.
And how have the candidates handled it? How has the mayor handled it? What do you think of that?
Well, I think they've both handled it in their own way. To some degree, I am disappointed with the mayor, because I think at the very beginning, he kind of was very much on side, and he did say that the protest could stay indefinitely, and by that he meant the tents could stay indefinitely, as long as it was peaceful. I was disappointed when he came back later on in the campaign and said, I never said the tents could stay indefinitely, I just said the protest could stay indefinitely. Suzanne, I'm more sympathetic to her point of view. Whether or not she should have been quite as rigid as she was in saying, 7 days, that's it. But I thought that was a credible approach. And so I must say, and it's a function of the fact that I'm an older guy, I guess, I was a little, and because I thought what they were doing was illegal, and I was worried about problems. I was worried about fire, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever anticipate the death. But I did think it was, I'm more sympathetic to the way Anton handled it than the mayor.
Now, on your blog, you've had two posts now about the candidates that you're thinking of voting for. And
yes.
They've caused a great deal of conversation online. Candidates that you've sort of...
Oh,
endorsed.
That's good.
Candidates you've endorsed are very happy. I've talked to a couple of them. Are very happy that they've received your support.
I'm flattered.
Yeah. People don't vote for slates, do they?
People do vote for
they
slates.
They do, yeah.
In fact, I just left a conversation where Ian Bailey was pointing out that all Vision supporters are being encouraged to vote the Vision Cope slate. Mm-hmm. And can't... I think he genuinely has a hard time understanding why it might make more sense to just vote for the best candidates, regardless of their party affiliation.
Yeah.
But to me, as I don't know where I got the line. I think it was City Caucus that came out with the Occupy Vancouver for Dummies, and I was thinking about slate voting, so I decided to throw out that what I do believe slate voting is for dummies. Mm. I think you should get the best people, and that's why I'm quite public about the fact that I supported Jeff Meggs, with whom I often disagree, but he's the brightest person on council running for re-election. I supported Heather Deal, an incredibly hard-working, committed person, and I certainly gave thought to Andrea and Raymond Louie. Those two, again, two more hard-working people. Andrea, I think, is particularly bright and mm-hmm. interesting. On the other side, Adrian Carr is somebody who I don't necessarily know very well, but I like to think she could bring a different perspective. Sandy Garasino, I think she's raised some important issues. I did support her. And I did support some of the NPA candidates, most notably Sean Bickerton and Michael Klassen, I think both of those, along with Bill McCreary, who's a fellow architect, who I think, although he's sometimes described as a cranky old man, I think he could bring an important voice to council.
Yeah, I've done that too with my sort of slate. I've picked people that I think, and I've consciously thought about this in this election especially, the people that I thought represented Vancouver well to ourselves and beyond. And that meant picking people that weren't necessarily ideologically the same as I was.
Yes. I saw another endorsement slate this morning from an entity called Vancouver Ramblings. And, they too, I thought, put together a very interesting slate. I mean, it includes both Suzanne Anton as mayor and Tim Louie as a counselor, and a mixture of COPE and NPA and others, and some NSV. I don't know the NSV candidates well enough, and quite frankly, I felt I'd be wasting a vote for them, so I didn't vote for any of them.
Do you think it matters between the candidates that are running who will win? I mean, will Vancouver change a great deal over the next 3 years if we pick, say, the wrong people? Or I mean, they don't seem to be very different, or are they?
Yeah, no, I don't think, and this may upset some people, I don't think Vancouver will be hugely different regardless of who wins. I think the financial situation may be affected a little bit in terms of how much we spend on different programs. I mean, to a large degree, the civil service runs a city with direction from the politicians. To some degree, I think it's as important the quality of the civil servants, the director of planning, the city manager, other key officials. The mayor's chief of staff, I mean, the most important person in Vancouver in many people's minds is the mayor's chief of staff, and yet he's not on the ballot. Mm-hmm. But certainly the senior staff, I think, do play a major role. But I've seen the politicians do shape the direction, and that's why I think you do need to have some pretty thoughtful people. I just don't want a lot of sheep who do whatever their master tells them. I want people who will debate things and think them through a bit.
Now, one of the issues that I've in the candidates that have come on this program and talked about their platform and their issues is affordability. Now, you're a developer. What is it? I mean, development in the city is almost like a four-letter word in terms of that it's your guys' fault that everything's so expensive in this town. Can you as a developer make things more affordable?
Well, it's interesting. I view this not just from my perspective as being a developer, but for 10 years I was with CMHC, and indeed at one point was in charge of the social housing programs in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So I do have, I think, a slightly broader perspective, and I'm not sure it's always the developers who are being blamed. I mean, recently I've heard politicians and Asians being blamed as much for the situation we have as the developers. The developers will build what people want and can afford. And developers don't want to keep building more and more expensive housing. They would like to build housing that's affordable by as many people as possible. But the problem we have, and I don't think it's just attributable to politicians, but we do have a system, especially in the city of Vancouver, that makes the development approval process quite uncertain, and increasingly our city has become addicted to payments from developers, and those payments are adding to the cost of housing.
Michael, I follow your blog regularly and your tweets, like a lot of people in this town. I think highly of what you say. I appreciate your time today.
Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, Joseph, and thank you for the kind words.
You're very welcome. The blog is at gellersworldtravel.blogspot.com. MichaelGeller.ca is his website. Michael Geller on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.